You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host of the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a very talented young and new songwriter, singer-songwriter, Ivy James. How are you, Ivy?
I'm good. Nice to be here.
Your bed looks like a slumber party. Like, did you just throw a huge like Torah or like a party or anything? What's going on over there?
It's actually like I bought like myself for my birthday present. I decided that I wanted a 4-poster bed. So
that's awesome. That you're way beyond your years if that's what you're like, this is on my birthday wish list.
This is what I want for my birthday.
And you are the daughter of a very close friend of mine, Oliver Gold. I was thinking about how to start this interview, and I just love your dad so much. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. And I tell this story to so many people, and you must now hear this story because we used to work together at Guitar Center many moons ago before he was a distinguished lawyer that he is, and he was quite a mischievous fellow. And I don't know if you know the band. You know the band Daryl Hall and John Oates?
Yes.
Okay, so we used to work in acoustics downstairs in Guitar Center, and they used to do rock walk inductions. So like these huge musicians would come in and put their hands in the cement at the Guitar Center, and he and I would work them. And so we would know ahead of time when a rock walk would be happening. So he saw that Daryl Hall and John Oates were being inducted. And so he decided to grow his hair out and grow a mustache. So he looked like an 80s version of John Oates. He bought a members only 80s jacket. Okay. And they came down, and I will never forget this. Daryl Hall looked at him and said, "Man, he looks like your stand-in to John Oates." And then Oliver went up to Daryl Hall and said, "Can we take a picture?" And Daryl Hall said, "Yeah, of course." And he's about to put his arm around Oliver, and he signals to John Oates to come over to the picture. And Oliver said, "Not you." And so it was like one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. And he's just one of the funniest people and very talented drummer and musician. So much love to your dad, because I just think the world of him. But let's talk about you. We're going to talk about you. So how did you get into music? What was your moment of zen that made you fall in love with music or want to become a singer-songwriter?
Well, I've been singing my whole life. My mom says that I've been singing since I could talk.
That's awesome.
So I started taking lessons. I was, like, I think, 7 or 8. And I did that until I started high school. And then I was in a cappella. And then I kind of just decided that one day I wanted to do music professionally. And I was like, this is like my passion. It's the only thing that like brings me this just sense of just peace over everything.
Yeah. And it's joyful. And it's also the greatest therapist on the planet, you know?
It really is.
And did you start playing guitar at a young age? Did you start in high school? Did you start after high school?
I actually started teaching myself a couple years ago after my dad gave me a guitar that one of his friends sent him. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to learn how to play guitar.
That's amazing.
And then it's become my main instrument. And I love playing guitar.
It is the great. You can see there's a couple of guitars behind me. There's an acoustic, an electric. There's a couple different. It is the greatest ever. And do you also play piano as well? Or is guitar like?
I do.
Okay. So I love you. You know, you're a really fantastic songwriter. I don't say those words a lot to really young songwriters, but I was listening to your stuff and I was like, this girl's way beyond her years. And I saw your influences are Phoebe Bridgers, Stevie Nicks, Joni Mitchell. How did you get into those older influences? Were your parents like playing good music and you were just kind of like listening, going, who is that?
I mean, my mom has always played just the best music. And so I grew up listening to all of the greats and always just being inspired by everything I was hearing in the car every day on the way to school. And then, you know, with my dad being a musician, of course, he has had like a huge impact on all of my taste.
And, you know, your dad's a great drummer. Has he ever been like, hey, man, if you ever want me to play drums, and you're just like, Dad, come on. You're like, I want to have my own drummer, Dad.
Yes, actually.
That's awesome.
But I mean, I love jamming with my dad. It's one of my favorite things. And I definitely need to have him play a show with me.
That's awesome. And yeah. I was also in an a cappella group in college. So I have so much love for a cappella. What are the things that you think you kind of learned from being in an a cappella group? Because, like, I started really young singing in a children's chorus, and then I started singing in, like, you know, high school chorus. But it's so interesting how, like, being in a group like that, it teaches you to listen and hear and kind of, like, find your parts and, like, you know, never, you know, blend, all those things. Tell me the things that you kind of gained as a musician going through that process.
So much. Definitely kind of the... my ear for harmony and how to compose vocal, which is very, very prevalent in my music, is the, you know, all of the composition that goes into my vocals and the backing vocals. And especially in live shows, I used to play in a band of just me and backup singers. And so it was a really huge part of, like, my musical journey, was understanding how vocals are such a tool and really can be used as an instrument, even if you have a full band behind you, and it can really propel the music. That and learning how to command a stage, you know, surrounded by other people, and, you know, keep the attention on you while also being able to aid the music.
What's really cool, I don't know if you kind of, like, took this on, but, like, I noticed, you know, when I was singing in a, you know, either a high school jazz group or an a cappella group, it, like, really kind of showed me how much I love making music with people as a group, because it's like you're all working towards one vision. There's something that is so beautiful about that. Like, you're all rehearsing together. There's ebb and flow with it. There's, like, good days and bad days with that. But it's like when you're all performing together, it's that moment, that synergy and synchronicity, all those things that kind of, like, line up, that make me fall in love with performing with a certain group that goes with every performance. Because I also studied opera, and that is not really the same, because it's like you doing a role in a play and then you're off stage and then somebody else is doing something. And I didn't really feel that connection to kind of the people I was creating with, like when you're in a band, in a singing group, in a chorus. So did you kind of feel like that team aspect a little bit when you were going through it, or did you kind of, like, not really realize that until later?
I think that when you're in high school, it's a lot harder to feel the team, because, I mean, it's high school, you know, everybody is learning how to be people and how to handle situations. And while, you know, you want to have relationships with everybody, it gets pretty complicated. So I always kind of just tried to, you know, stay to myself.
And what kind of music were you doing? Were you doing pop tunes? Were you doing musical theater tunes in the group? Or kind of a mix of jazz too?
It's actually a lot of pop and rock.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, I mean, my first solo, or, like,
old stuff?
Both. I mean, my first solo was Painted Black by the Rolling Stones.
I just saw the Rolling Stones on Saturday. Okay. I actually, this is kind of cool. You will appreciate this. So I had one of the members of the Rolling Stones, his name is Chuck Lavelle. He played on my last record, and he got us tickets. And so we got to hang out. We got to hang out with some of the Rolling Stones and then watch them all play. It was, like, kind of a surreal experience, but they played that song. That's my brother's favorite Rolling Stones song. And what's cool about that is, like, it exposed you to music that's way before your time. So, like, did you fall in love with that song right away just because you were doing the solo? It must have been cool.
Well, actually, there's a kind of a story to how I got the solo. I was practicing that song in my, like, school's practice rooms. And my, like, teacher walked in while I was rehearsing, because I was singing really loud, because I was, like, and I was filming for, like, a TikTok. And my teacher walked in, and I just thought it was kind of funny. So I posted, like, this short clip of me singing it and then getting interrupted. And it got like overnight 90,000 wow. likes.
That's and crazy. Rolling Stones That's actually amazing. Saw it.
And the wow. Rolling Stones actually saw it and reposted it on their story. And I remember my friend
That's amazing.
Calling me at like 2 a.m. and being like, you need to look at the Rolling Stones story right now. Like, you're there. Like, and I just like cried. And it was the craziest thing. And then they, the beginning of the next year, of the next school year, they were like, our first solo is going to be Ivy. And she's singing Painted Black. And I wow. was like, oh.
You're like, okay, I've already been rehearsing that. So you were just rehearsing that just out of the blue?
For my end of year project for a cappella, where I was like pitching, like, this is the song I want to do for my solo. Like, pick me, you know?
So wait, so and how did you know that song? Because were your parents also playing Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
Like, what I love about your writing too, and I'm going to give you a huge compliment, your writing is very mature for your age, and it has a lot to do with what you're listening to. Because you're not just listening to like pop, you're listening to like the throwback stuff that is some of the best music ever written. So it's like you can hear it, and when you're creating and crafting songs, you're thinking about that, like making it accessible, yeah. making it poppy, but also making it built like the old songs were, you know, like they were just so yeah. it like as structures they were musically sound, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, lyrically wise, I write, you know, more folk and pop, but I'm very, very inspired by like post-punk and post-hardcore and like Midwest emo, which is all like very not what I
that's awesome write,
but I'm very inspired by the lyricism, and I think that it does have to do with like my dad and like that he was in like a band like that, and
that's true.
So I kind of got into it, and now I'm just like a huge fan of
that's awesome. And you know, all that music, it's like, what I love about it, it's got so much energy. Let's talk about your creative process, though. Do you start with a melody? Do you kind of like play a groove and kind of come up with a riff? Do you kind of start with lyrics first? Do you write like a lot of prose and then you kind of like start, you know, formulating songs? Tell me a little bit about your creative process. Like, what is your muse and how do you write?
It kind of differs song to song because I carry around like a little notebook with me. Or like my phone notes app. And I'm always just kind of thinking of stuff and I write it down. But a lot of times I'm just sitting at my guitar and I kind of come up with like a chord progression I like. And then I hit record on my voice memos and just start singing.
That's awesome.
And a lot of times I kind of get into a groove where I start finding like lyrics I like. And I have a couple things that are like, this is staying. I've got like a verse here, maybe like a pre-chorus. And then I just fill it in. If
I love that.
Makes sense.
I love that. I had an amazing songwriting teacher in college, and I'm going to give you a little tidbit of wisdom that he gave me. And I actually teach songwriting too, and I tell this to my students. He said, "Find the remarkable in the unremarkable," and I'm like, that is the greatest way to write, because songs yeah. will be under your nose without you even thinking about it. And sometimes the greatest songs are the ones that come out of moments like that, where you literally, you know, it's like even Sabrina Carpenter has a song, Espresso, and the way she talks about, you know, everything relating to an espresso, it's just clever songwriting. You know, it's like, I yeah. love when people take the craft and it's like, oh my God, this is something that was mundane in one moment and now it's something cool. And then you take a band like yeah. Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones, and they were doing the same thing for that time period, just with what they were going through. So I love that you're kind of like taking that, you know, approach of just writing what you feel and being in the moment. And do you find that like other songwriters are influencing how you write, or is it what you're reading as far as literature, or like, tell me a little bit about your lyrics, like what inspires you to write words?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm very, very inspired by post-punk, post-hardcore, and just that, the really raw, like leave little to the imagination, write to the point lyrics. But I also think that I kind of do an interesting thing where then I will go to like very deep metaphor of like, maybe nobody else knows what I'm talking about, but like I do.
Right.
And I think that my the way I write songs is kind of a mix between storytelling and conveying a feeling.
Right.
Where it's like narrative, non-narrative, in a sense.
Right. And do you write like from the observational perspective, or is it more like, you know, first person, this is what I want you to experience because I'm going through the same emotions?
Yeah, I think that when I write, I kind of want the listener to feel like they are me. Like, I want them to experience everything and feel it all. And, you know, because I think that it makes people relate to the music more, where I'm like, you know, this is exactly how I felt in this moment, and this is why.
I love that.
And I definitely, my writing was a lot influenced by a songwriting class I took with Robin Pecknold a few years back, who's the lead singer of Fleet Foxes. And I learned so many techniques and ways of think, just different ways of thinking that have completely changed the way that I thought about songwriting.
Like, give me an example. Give me an example of something he kind of gave you perspective or opened your imagination with.
We had like all these different kinds of, I don't want to say characters, but roles you can take on as a songwriter, the historian, I'm blanking on the rest, but I'm going to use that as an example. Where you're taking like some part of your history or somebody else's history and delving into it and almost using it like a documentary of sorts. So you're telling this story from the perspective of an outsider.
That's awesome.
Of you are dissecting this situation as like the historian.
I love that.
And it was all different tools. And I think that it really just stuck with me.
You know, it's interesting because I think with songs, especially songwriting, you know, there was always like a draw. I'm sure you did theater in high school or like middle school or even beyond that. And there was always a draw for something like that, but it was never enough because I didn't feel like, oh, I'm like living this character in the same way that like music, when you're writing from that person, you are the character, you are going through those emotions and you are conveying that script, that screenplay for the listener to listen to. And it just became so much more palpable. Did you kind of get that feeling when you first started writing songs? You were like, whatever this is, I love it. And I never am going to get tired of this because this is where it's at.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I first started writing songs, I was like, wow. I love this because it suddenly gave me like a new voice where I could say all these things that I could never say before in this new way. And it's such a unique form of expression because at the end of the day, it's a song.
Right.
And you get to sing it over and over and over and over again. And like you said in the beginning, I mean, music is the best therapy.
It really is.
You get to... If you're not ready to work through something and you're just writing about what happened, the story, every time you sing it, it gets a little less hard.
Right, right.
And that's something that I just found so appealing was I was like, I feel so great every time I write a song because I'm getting all of this stuff off of my chest and onto a piece of paper and then I get to like send it out to the world.
And you know, I'll tell you something, like I've been doing this, I think it's like 22 years now, maybe a little bit more. And one of the things that I love about performing songs that I write in the same way that you probably do too, is I'm always searching for a new melody within that song. So if there's anything I can give you as far as advice, it's like always search for like new melodies within your songs because you will find new moments for those songs to have life throughout decades of your career. And you're going to have decades ahead of you. So before we talk about that, let's play something. Your choice, artist choice. What do you want to play us first?
Let's go with my only happy song. And my untraditional love song is called Unravel Myself.
Unravel Myself, is that right?
Yes.
Here's Unravel Myself by Ivy James.
I don't like
So good, Ivy James. You know that was the first video I saw of yours, and I literally finished the video. I was like, very good. And I don't say that all the time. It's so good, and it really is super artistic. Tell me about the concept of the music video, because I was also impressed with that. What was your vision?
I kind of wanted to portray kind of the feeling I had in the song, which is the unconventional love song, and I wanted to portray more of a feeling rather than telling a story. And I also wanted to do, I think at the time I was really into like mixed media, which is kind of a form of animation, but I wanted to do it in my own way where I was still showing my unique style of, you know, cinematography and direction, and then while still conveying the message of the song.
It's really cool. It's actually like really French influence, like French cinema influence. I don't know if you watch a lot of it, but it's
love French movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously, it really, and I was really impressed by that, because whenever you see music videos, I mean, there's always like a part of me that I expect a certain, all right, it's going to be super poppy, super clean. When I saw that video, I was like, oh, this girl's like a real serious artist. Like this is like way beyond your years. That's what's so cool about it. So tell me a little bit about the melody, the crafting of that, because it's very intricate. It's really beautiful. Tell me like a little bit how you came up with the melody.
That was not too long after I started learning guitar and I started experimenting with not standard tunings. And I put my guitar into drop D for the first time. And I just kind of started messing around and I came up with that little guitar line. And I was like, oh, this is so fun. Like, I love, it's kind of weird in a way where it has this bouncy, like, and then it goes to a minor. It's really cool in that sense of the way that the guitar line is structured. And then I think with the lyrics, I just wanted to like follow the guitar as close as I could.
Do you ever listen to Nick Drake by chance?
I love Nick Drake.
I hear a lot of that in your writing for this song. He's like one of my favorite songwriters. There's a great tuning. You'll love this tuning. For his song Pink Moon, I think it's D-A-D-G-A-D. G-A-D. Is it Dad Gad or is it? No, I'm sorry. It's D-A-D-G-A-F sharp. It's D-A-D-G-A-F sharp. Try that tuning. You will love it. You will write three songs for that tuning. I'm telling you, you'll love it. Especially, I love that you experimented. Yeah, and there's another one called Dadgad, D-A-D-G-A-D, which I'm sure you know.
I've written songs in that tuning.
I love that tuning. I could tell it was like some like weird tuning, but it's just only a drop D, that's it?
Or it was Dad Fad.
Okay, that makes more sense. Okay, yeah, because I was like, some of the patterns, I was like, wait a minute, how did you do that? It's awesome. It's really, really catchy riff, really cool lyrics, really great melody, just a perfect song. It's like, really, it's awesome, really awesome. So tell me, like, when you're recording a song like this, tell me what your experience was like recording. Did you record it at home? Did you go into a studio? Did you work with a producer? Tell me what that was like for you.
So I worked with a producer and I recorded it actually remotely. So my producer, Mr. Hudson, he's London based. So he comes here and I see him and work with him while he's here. But on this song, I actually recorded in my now ex-boyfriend, his like home studio. And we just had a day where I like just recorded that under a blanket. I think I had just gotten over the flu.
Wow.
And it was just me and a microphone under a blanket.
That's cool. What made you put the blanket over you?
We just wanted to get rid of as much of the room noise as possible.
That's interesting. That's cool. Well, it sounds really kind of like intimate and it sounds organic. And you know what? The cool thing, the one thing I love the most about it, it really sounds throwback like 70s folk, which is really cool because it sounds like a modern recording, but it has like these elements of this old 70s folk sound that I love. So very, very cool. That was one of the first things I heard you do. I was like, this kid can write. So tell me, like, you know, and I know Phoebe Bridgers is an influence on you, but I got to give you a huge compliment again. I think you're better than Phoebe Bridgers. I've heard a lot of her songs. I think you can write better songs than Phoebe Bridgers. Like, you have something really, really going. Who are some of your influences now, like in the pop realm or in the folk realm, that are modern artists that you're very influenced by?
Definitely Phoebe Bridgers, Boy Genius. Adrienne Lenker is a huge influence for me. Big Thief.
I don't know the last one. You said Adriana who?
Adrienne Lenker and Big Thief.
Okay, I don't know those last two. That's awesome. Okay, cool.
They're a more contemporary like folk band, and then the lead singer, her solo project.
That's very, very cool. Awesome. And how do you discover music now? Are you using Spotify, using YouTube? Like, how do you find music?
Spotify. I am on Spotify all the time, and I'm always discovering new music and new artists, and they're always just sending me new stuff to listen to. It's great.
Right. It is a great platform for that. I have my ins and outs with it because it's like, I feel like they should cut songwriters a little bit more into the profits than what they do. But I love the platform too. It's like, it's such a great tool and I listen and use it all the time. And it's so easy to send people music. And you know, what's funny is like, I was against putting my music up on Spotify for a long time. And I had a lot of fans that were like, listen, I'm trying to like share your music with people and you're not on Spotify. And how can I share your music if you're not on Spotify? And I was like, my God, okay. Okay. Now I'm like hurting people that love my music who want to share it. Okay. I'm going to put it up there. So I was against it for a long time, but now I'm like, okay, I love it. It's great. It's such a modern tool to share music. But like, as you can see, I don't know if you listen to records, but there's a record player in this room and I love records.
I have, and my whole record collection is actually in the shelf that's behind me.
That's awesome. So what kind of records are you listening to? You listen to older records?
I have every Bob Dylan ever and all of the Joni Mitchells. And I have a lot of contemporary, but mostly I have vintage
that
I've gotten from like record stores and my grandparents and things.
I mean, Amoeba, I can't really go to Amoeba Records because I'll go there and I will spend way too much money. And it's like, I just love records. Yeah. I still buy CDs. I still buy vinyls all the time. Records are like magical experiences. I love that you're listening to records because your generation doesn't listen to records in the same way. And I just think that it's a lost art. When you release music, do you like that it's like so digital, like the digital age is kind of like what runs or do you like a tangible record, like, you know, what you're buying?
I love to have, I mean, at least when I'm looking at other artists' music, having like a physical copy of their work is so cool to me, just because you can like hold something that somebody wrote in your hands rather than it just be like this thing on your phone.
Yes.
But also as like a huge consumer of music, like I'd like to say my diet is mostly music. And it's so easy to just carry around all the music in the world at my fingertips. And I think that that's really like cool for me being a newer artist, is that so many more people have immediate access to my work.
Right. Yeah, I love that. That's a great answer. You have restored my faith in the younger generation when it comes to music, because you know how many people show me their records on a cell phone? And I'm like, yo, send me a link. I like speakers. I mean, I like really big speakers, and I want to hear the music so it sounds like a studio. You know, like that's the best feeling when you can hear music. But I get it, too. It's so convenient. So what do you want to play us next? Your artist choice for song number two.
Let's go with my more upbeat and rock-esque song. It's called Bathroom Sink. And this song is super fun.
Here's Bathroom Sink by Ivy James.
Things
a damn shame. This isn't love, you're the one to blame. This isn't love.
Very nice, beautiful song. What a great, cool video. First, I want to ask about that rotary phone. Where did you get that rotary phone, and how did you know how to use that phone? Because that's way beyond your time.
I actually watched a YouTube video on how to do it right, because I didn't want to like seem like that person. I was like, I'm not going to use the phone the wrong way. I like picked it up before I dialed. Like, I wanted to make sure that I was doing it justice, because I wanted to do like the 80s super teen girl, like, dramatic, while I was kind of trying to tell a story. Right. While I'm like, as a film student, I wasn't like, at the time I was really into non-narratives, but for this music video, I was like, how do I kind of like tell a story that goes with the song, but also like not. I was really trying to push it, and I thought that with the rotary phone that I would be able to like kind of portray like a feeling of disconnect from like me and the person on the other side of this like phone, that you know, we have a connectedness through conversation, but the second the phone is, you know, we hang up the phone, there's an unease, because it's like everything's up in the air.
And I noticed the details of the bathroom sink font being in lipstick. That was cool.
Oh yes. So I actually wrote that on my bathroom mirror in eyeliner, but I blew it up so it would look like lipstick.
It's really cool. Because
I thought, clever idea. I don't know, most of my you know, single art, I wrote, like, I hand wrote the cover for it. Because I like the, I don't know, I think it's a personal touch.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't find the right font with like writing on paper. And I was like,
how did you go through so many fonts? You must have gone through like 150 fonts just to find the right vibe.
A million. When I'm like designing the covers, it takes me days, because I'm just like, oh, I liked this yesterday and now I hate it. Okay.
Right. It was an awesome video. I love the two-tone coloring too that you have when you're singing. Thank away. You. It's really, really cool. Like the details, the way you present your songs are very detail-oriented, and also the craft of the songs. Like, when I listen to your music, and this is a huge testament to your craft, you can tell that you have been singing for a long time. And that is how you like craft the melodies, write the melodies, write the songs. Your songs are very vocal friendly, and that's why they work. They're driven by the vocals. And you can tell that your first musical experiences were that. You know, you were singing music in a cappella groups, and it shows. So when you're applying that same detail when you're writing, do you get distracted sometimes by writing or playing something and wanting to keep the vocal driving? Like, sometimes I do that when I write something. I'll write, you know, something that's complex on guitar, and I'm like, oh, am I losing the vocal because I'm writing something crazy on guitar that's like maybe flashy versus just like writing the song for the song, you know? Like, do you ever find this balance, like getting out of balance?
I think for me, I'm always coming from the place of a writer, of all I care about is, I mean, I love singing and I love being a singer, but because I write my own music, I come from a very different perspective. Rather than just a singer, I am a singer and a songwriter.
Right.
And so I really want whatever I'm singing, whatever is music is playing, what graphics I do, the music videos, all I want is for it to further push the message of my writing, because I feel like in every word I write, I want it to be important.
Right.
And I want the music to just make it more important.
I love that. Like, this is, you're way more mature beyond your years. Like, you don't hear songwriters talking about this at your age, but do you play out a lot? Are you playing shows solo with a band? Like, tell me what your performance experience is right now.
I play with a band. I play solo. I'm going on tour in the fall.
That's awesome.
I'm opening for a friend of mine on their tour. So, which will be my first time really playing a lot of shows solo, because I've kind of had a band behind me.
Right.
And which is part of, you know, being kind of a a composer in a way, right, of being able to have that control over every single thing that people are playing on stage with me, right, and just continuing to aid the music. It's so fun. And I love playing with a band, but you know, just the words on their own is very like, there's something very raw and authentic to it. That's just,
well, you're the band at that point. It's like, you're
at that point.
Yeah.
I
I've been touring for 20 plus years and I love writing for my band. I actually have two bands now, like one that tours the most, but I started a blues trio and I kind of like write for those vehicles, you know, like you write for the band, you write a song and then you arrange it for the band. But when it comes to solo shows, I find it the most intimate and sometimes the most rewarding because the song just sits on itself. And the reason I'm telling you this, I actually host a night of songwriters at Hotel Cafe. When you get off the road, I'd like to have you on one of the bills. And it's a night of, it's four songwriters, two guys, two girls every time. Everybody plays three original songs, and then you play one song that you wish you wrote as the last round. So you have
I would love to do that. You'll love it.
And all the songwriters, like, I've been having songwriters fly in from the UK. We have one from Australia for the next one. It's just really, really cool. It's at Hotel Cafe. So when you get off tour, I'm going to have a date for you to be on one of those bills, and we'll work.
Absolutely.
But I want to ask you too, as a writer and an artist in this new era of art, what do you think is one of the biggest obstacles of reaching people or impacting people or getting the word out about your music? Because in my time, I've seen it change so much with the, you know, introduction of social media, with CDs being the big thing, and now CDs are non-existent, and vinyl came out of nowhere, and now vinyl's a thing, and Spotify used to be only in Europe, and now it's here, and it's everywhere. So tell me, what are the obstacles that you have as a new artist just to reach people and get people, you know, to know about your music?
It's definitely having to be an internet personality and kind of try and be an influencer, right, which is, it's so weird, because I'm just like... I think I know how to do it, but, you know, every day being like, okay, like, what TikTok am I going to post that's going to get likes and actually, like, translate?
Right.
And then, you know, dealing with the internet, because it's the internet, and right, people are the worst. So it's definitely the most, like, frustrating thing, but also rewarding, is the social media aspect of all of it.
I love that you said that, because usually people your age love social media and they're all about it. But to me, I also feel the same. It's like, there's a certain level of, you have to do this for social media. And there's a certain level of, oh, okay, I think I'd rather just live my life and not worry about having to post something just because you have to post something. So a lot of people don't realize, like, and I'm sure your friends will also, you know, ask you like, yo, why do you have to post so much about music or this and that? Because, you know, they just don't, they're not, maybe they're not posting as much or whatever. And it's like, you're like, I have to, because that's the only way people will know that I've got a song coming out. I've got a record coming out. I've got a show in this city or this state, whatever it is. So I love that you said that, because you are screaming what social media is. It is an uphill battle, but I know you're probably doing it great. And just remember to like live your life. Like, don't worry about that as much. Just like, be an artist. Like you need time to just be yourself and like write about things that matter to you, and just hide from the world and play your guitar sometimes, and just like always do that. Like, I was telling you, artists, you have to.
I most definitely do. I am a lot of times just like in my room for a whole day, just playing guitar and singing. And then the next day I'm like, oh, maybe I should post a TikTok. Like, I haven't in a couple of days.
Right. Right. Yeah. And there's always that, like, that pressure of, oh my God, I haven't posted something in a while. I need to just to post something. It's like, it's like going to the gym in a weird way. It's like, okay, I have to do this.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is a good thing. But I love that you have a healthy perspective on it. I'm sure your parents are like, don't get too absorbed in this, because it's easy to get absorbed in it, you know? And like, you know what I love is there's a very great artist I love. His name's Charlie Hunter, and he He's just like an amazing guitarist. He's an amazing musician and person. And you know, he did a bunch of work with D'Angelo. He did a song with John Mayer. And he's being interviewed about these two huge records he played on. And they were like, what was your, you know, experience like when you first heard it? And he said, I haven't heard it yet. And these are records that are like 10, 15 years old. And I was just like, that's a true artist. Like when you just are able to create something and you just are able to just like let it go because you're searching for the next thing to just create. I'm like envious of an artist like that because it's like, wow, they're not posting for social media or they're not, you know, like he does post for social media, but it's like his search is for the song, the record, the idea to write about, the thing to keep playing, to keep stay inspired. And that's like a very unspoken thing that artists don't talk about. Like you have to stay inspired constantly so that you can write and reach people. So my question to you is, how do you stay inspired?
People suck.
True.
Like all my inspiration comes from the people, like I, you know, they say write what you know.
Right.
And what I know is being a teen girl, pretty much everybody is kind of the worst. I mean, myself included.
Right.
Like we're all at this weird age of like, we just do just awful stuff to each other.
Right.
And so a lot of my writing is inspired by exactly that. People being awful and me just being like, well, now I'm just going to write a song about you.
How about that? Take that. Yeah, that's like that's straight exactly. Up from the Taylor songbook right there. It's like, oh yeah, you're going to do that to me? I'm going to document this for the whole world to sing to. And that's kind of cool. It's like
I make TikToks about it constantly. I'm like, when people are mean to me and they forget I'm a songwriter.
You're like that's all. Awesome. Yeah. You're like, I wouldn't do that if I were you.
That's awesome. Be careful what you say to me.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, let's play something else. What are we going to play next?
So this last song is called Ivory. And I wrote this about, contrary to popular belief, it's not a breakup song. I actually wrote this about my ex-best friend and like the deterioration of our friendship.
Okay, cool. And this is called Ivory.
Ivory.
All right. Well, we'll ask more about that in a second. But here's Ivory by Ivy James.
Sat there and listened like a well-trained dog.
So good. Who shoots in black and white? This is so crazy. It's so awesome. So cool. I love black and white. So very cool.
Me too. I mean, I didn't shoot and do that music video. That was actually done by my super talented friends, Max and Samara. And yeah, I mean, I wanted to do black and white, and I helped up with the concept, but I can't take credit for how beautiful it turned out.
That's awesome. It's even the concept is great that you're thinking like that. And the very fact that you're thinking about going to film school or doing that, and it's awesome. It's really, really cool. It's a testament to, like, you understand, this is my art. This is how I want to go about it. This is how I want to present it. That's all the details. And you know what? Like, sometimes friends are going to come and go, and the ones that stick by you are the ones that you're going to find that are just around as you go through the successes and the failures of this crazy journey. The music industry is a circus, but don't worry, you're doing great. And let me ask you, like, what are your plans for new music? What are your plans for making new songs, new records? I'm sure you have 100 songs that you're waiting to record. So tell me what your output or your plan is.
Well, I've kind of been experimenting. I mean, as I've said, I think twice now in this conversation, is I'm really, really inspired by post-hardcore and post-punk, and I really want that to translate into the final products of my songs. And so I've definitely started experimenting with how I can incorporate elements of that style of music into, you know, what I know and love, which is folk.
Yeah.
And I think that it could be a really interesting thing, and I'm definitely, you know, hoping to take it that direction.
I love that. I love that. And little fun fact, Stevie Nicks went to my high school. She went to my high school, and I actually met her at Sundance. I was playing the Sundance Film Festival. This is really cool. It's a cool story. So Dave Grohl was doing Sun City. He had his movie at Sundance, and she was in the movie, and she just talked about the, you know, Sun City, Sound City. And I was walking out, and I heard the security guard say, Stevie's about to get in the truck. And I was like, I turn around, and Stevie Nicks is right behind me. And I said, thank you for the music. And she was like, you're welcome. So she was super cool, super sweet, super nice. It was a quick moment before she was let off into, you know, a private car. But that was my one little Stevie Nicks moment. And where are you playing? Where are you opening? What are the cities that you're playing in? Because this is a great way for people to know when and where you're playing.
I'm playing in Austin, Dallas, and Houston. And then I'm playing in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania. And then I'm playing in New York, Boston, L.A., and then San Francisco. And I'll be announcing.
That's awesome.
This week. Thank you.
And it's all going to be on your website and all of that?
It's going to be on all my socials and my website.
Where can people find you online if they want to find you on social media or wherever?
Everywhere. I am on all of it. I think that's also part of just being Gen Z if there's a social media, I'm guaranteed I have an account on it.
And are you Ivy Jane, Ivy Jane's Music?
Everywhere.
Ivy Jane's Music everywhere?
Yep.
Smart. You did it all.
But
awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. I'm going to tell you, I started this show about 10 years ago for artists like yourself. And we put like Oscar winners, Grammy winners next to new artists like yourself, because we want people to pay attention to new artists in the same way they're paying attention to celebrated artists. So I usually bring back artists every 9 or 10 months. I'd like to invite you to come back in about 10 months. Tell us how the tour went. Tell us about new projects that you're doing. Remember the songs you played, because we want to just keep knowing about what you're doing, what you're playing, and all your new music videos. So it was a pleasure to have you on. I'm going to end with a little funny story of Oliver, because I love that cat so much. One time he bought these like crazy teeth, and he wore them it all day, and he was talking to customers like those were his real teeth, and I could not stop laughing because he was just making it look so normal that he had these crazy teeth, and nobody was like, they just assumed those were his real teeth, and it's something I think about all the time. So much love to Oliver Gold. He's the reason that I asked for you to be on the show, because he posted one of your songs. I was like, she's great. I'd love to have her on the show. So continued success. I'm going to have you on Songwriters in the Round. We're going to have you back on Wake Up Hollywood in about 10 months. And keep writing songs. Keep being yourself, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I'm going to have Ivy, Sam, and myself. We'll see you guys next week. Peace and love. Take care of each other.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.